Welcome back to Head Games Radio with our good friend from USA Today, Howard Balzer. And we hope to be joined in a couple minutes with Paul Zimmerman as well. Howard, let's shift focus away from the on-the-field situation to an interview that Brian Gumbel had with the outgoing commissioner. And he asked Paul Tagliabue whether he had shown Roger Goodell the leash. Tell us what that means to you. Is that the kind of journalistic gambit that's appropriate? Was it inappropriate? Are we being too sensitive?
Well, I don't know if we're being too sensitive. I just think it was inappropriate because it was... And I agree.
Inaccurate.
It was inaccurate. Exactly. And that's the thing. And you wonder, was Brian Gumbel paying attention to what happened in this last round of negotiations that almost resulted in quite a, you know, would have been a crazy, chaotic situation for the NFL without, you know, without a cap the following year, all these other things. And the reason it happened, and the reason, but they ended up getting an agreement, is because Gene Upshaw had gone on record with the league and Paul Tagliabue as long as 2 years ago that in the next extension he wanted all revenue included in the, you know, in the pot that gets shared by the players.
That's a big deal. I mean, to explain that, in other words, there were things, especially ancillary things, not gate.
Right.
Not television.
Right.
But
prior
a lot
to
of the stuff that goes on with, you know, why don't you outline some of the other things like parking, et cetera,
right,
that sometimes weren't being used?
You know, prior to this year, DGR, which is designated gross revenue, was, like you said, gate receipts, TV money, and that was about it. They were, when there was expansion money, a portion of that would get shared. Well, what Gene Upshaw was now pushing for was a total revenue formula that would include, you know, revenue from, you know, from sponsorships and, you know, all kinds of other things in, that basically is locally generated, that, you know, where there's a disparity among the teams. And so he wanted that money included, you know, luxury box income, for example. He wanted that money included in what is shared by the players.
Well, and the point is that $10 to $20 million more over the next few years per year will go to teams, not to mention the fact that by preserving the peace, that those sponsors and advertisers that work with the networks were able to commit to a $10 billion television contract.
Right.
And somebody who studied the NFL, who is not afraid to speak truth to power, certainly has engendered a lot of loving relationships with the commissioner's office himself. The curmudgeon himself, the legend, Dr. Z, how are you?
Trying my best.
Okay, well, I just thought that, you know, it's rare to have two people who've been around the game for so long, but give us your take on this interesting situation with Brian Gumbel. Do you think that he's just completely out to lunch? Tell us what you think of in terms of his analysis, if you will, if we can even honor it with that word, that Gene Upshaw is on a leash with Paul Tagliabue.
A lot of veterans agree with Brian. A lot of players, more than you suspect, agree.
Why is that?
Because they feel that Gene is married to the high-priced players, the commissioner, and the image. As far as the low-priced players, as far as the pension, the needy players, they get sort of the back-of-the-hand treatment. That's summing it up very briefly. I've been getting a lot of mail from people for quite a while, and then I was told that they're going to present all their gripes at the Super Bowl week last year, or this year, when the NFLPA had its session there, and so I attended the session with a nice new notebook, figuring we're going to get some fireworks, and they never showed up. Well, I mean, my feeling was if they can't get it together and organize themselves, I'm not going to fight their battle for them.
Well, I will say that my perception is that the history is of players and guys with varying degrees of economics, health and physical health, et cetera, and education, organizational skills, it takes a while. But my perception is that is changing quite a bit. There's a lot of momentum now. There are a lot of players now that are standing up and speaking about that. But I don't want to shift the discussion to that quite yet, because what I'd like to first get is your comment that, indeed, even if Gene Upshaw may have a comfortable relationship, too comfortable relationship with the commissioner's office, which has led to this labor peace, it's also led to a pie that is so much bigger than it ever was.
Well, I don't think that's led to this labor peace. I mean, I think labor peace was something everybody wanted, and to get it, Tagliabue ducked the main issue and put it on hold, which is why Ralph Wilson was upset. He said nothing has been solved.
Right.
He just dumped it off on Roger Goodell. Great. All right. So that solves it. You can solve any problems that way by taking.
What's the main issue?
For me?
How the owners will share that revenue.
Well, is that what you mean, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, that the plan wasn't worked out. They got a settlement without anything being settled.
But the point is, though, I think, and that's definitely true, and Goodell now has that in his lap, but in terms of what Brian Gumbel said about Upshaw is that if he was on a leash of the commissioner or was just his pet, well, he would have dropped the demand a long time ago, and they just could have sailed along with the way it had been for many years in terms of, you know, the basic revenue that would be included. But he pushed it. He wielded the hammer of decertification and suing the league again, and so they caved. And you're right, Paul.
I don't think anybody caved. I think they're making a ton of money. I think they've got a terrible pension plan. I think there are a lot more things that they could be doing. I think that leash comment was right on the money. I loved it.
Well, I will say this, that what is happening with every player that has contacted me, I've talked to probably 200 players now, is that almost 100% of them just don't understand what the mathematical formula is when they have a pension fund that's over $1 billion, why you have players that have a pension that's about a third at best, if not a quarter, of what baseball is. I mean, they can go into that they're more players, but they're really not that many more former players.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Howard, we've left you out of this discussion.
No, that's
well.
Okay.
As you look at Gene Upshaw and his legacy, certainly the league is in far better shape. The players are in far better shape with free agency as well, with the salaries at an all-time high, with you know a lot of the rights that did not exist whatsoever back in 1980, the right to a second medical opinion. Grievances are much more effective as well. What's missing in Gene Upshaw's legacy that could stamp him as one of the great sports leaders of all time?
Well, that's a good question. But, I mean, I agree with Paul in terms of the pension. I mean, I don't know the economics of it. It seems hard to believe that there aren't more football players than baseball just by virtue of the size of the rosters and the way they turn over so quickly, and which baseball doesn't. But, you know, that's an issue, and it's starting to come more to the fore. And as the money gets bigger, you know, hopefully there will be that money available for a lot more players, than it has been. And they'll take care of that. But I still believe that. I mean, he was going against a tough nut there. And I mean, you remember, Paul. I mean, I remember NFL meetings when Jack Donlin was the in charge of the management council, and Tex Schramm was still powerful in the league. And they said, this league will never get free agency. We will never agree to free agency.
We will never agree to that socialist concept of revenue sharing, even though they already had it in television.
Well, that's the real irony. The real irony is that 1982, when Ed Garvey was in charge of the union, and they came out with their "We Are the Game," 55% of the gross, and the league said we'll never share, and now they are sharing, and it's even larger than 55%. But obviously, you're never going to have it perfect. But they've got to find a way to take care of more and more players. And I think one of the issues is that, it's not only pension, it's also disability. Because let's be honest, I mean, bad things happen to football players later in their life a lot more than they do to players, especially from baseball or other
sports. More. It puts it mildly. It's remarkable. The old story is that Vince Lombardi Jr. asked Jim Otto after about his 10th knee operation, when he walked into a disability hearing on crutches, if he was just faking it. So the mentality there, whether it was Vince Lombardi Jr. or whether it was Jack Donlin, was sort of the old style, where it's sort of the Godfather, you know, what have you come to bring me? And that has changed. But my sense and my belief is that for Gene Upshaw to cement his legacy, he's going to have to create a sense of true trust and transparency with these issues, that players can understand why they are only spending a small percentage of that pension fund, so much less that players that play 10 and 15 and 20 years are getting a below living existence for those that played in the 70s and the 80s. So do you agree with me? I mean, I'm not that smart.
No, I do agree with you on that. I think that's that's an issue that has to be addressed. I'm curious with Paul, because It's been characterized. I don't know if you want to steer this conversation this way, but it just hit me with some of the things he said. And he's in the room with me at the Hall of Fame each year, and many people have characterized the induction of Paul Tagliabue as a slam dunk. Do you see it that way, Paul?
I'll be the strongest voice on the anti-faction. I'll be the strongest voice against them. If you bring the commissioner into the Hall of Fame every time he's eligible, it's like saying that the President of the United States automatically has to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Tagliabue is taking credit for the growth of the game. It's like looking at American history and saying, well, we had a great prosperity during the reign of Calvin Coolidge, so he's the greatest president we ever had. The game would have taken off with or without Paul Tagliabue, because it's the players and the game itself
right.
that are so great. And that's what fueled the TV contract, and that's what's doing it, although Tagliabue would love to take credit for that. He's shrewd in negotiating TV. He knows how to make rich people richer. Is that a great commissioner? Not to my...
Or does that make you, it might
as far
be.
As the newspapermen are concerned, anybody in that room who favors Tagliabue for Hall of Fame, I would say you're like a dog that gets kicked and licked the boot that kicks you. He's
as bad to
the press as anybody has ever been.
I would just amplify by that saying it might make you a very good commissioner, but does that qualify you for the Hall of Fame? And that's
I think
the
he's
question.
A good commissioner. I don't like him.
Well, I mean, the other point to me is that even if a commissioner or a journalist, you know, there should be a separate Hall of Fame, because their roles are not really as players, are they? I mean,
no.
They're not as people that
and
impacted
he takes
the
a
game
spot
in the
someone
same
else.
Way, and why should that take away from a deserving player
I agree with
and
that.
His spot in the Hall of Fame?
I said that 15 years ago when I first joined the selection committee. There should be two doors. You put the contributors and the coaches in one door. I mean, you don't make it to Paul Tagliabue who compete against the Gene Hickerson. It's ridiculous. But the Hall of Fame does not like change, and it doesn't like people like us suggesting change. They do things their own way.
Well, we're going to go to a break, and we want to thank our good friend Howard Balzer for joining us. And when we come back, Howard, thank you so much. And
right,
Paul,
Nick,
I just want to come back and have your final comments on the Brian Gumbel situation. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back with final thoughts in just a minute.